Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough behind me. So if you want the sweetest honey, I think hindsight's 1990. Yes, I mean. To pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, don't you mean Sazzy Fergarezzi?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. And we're not alone. Here to join us is Mr. Pitzer, a.k.a. Chad. Chad, Mr. Pitzer.
Who plugged something in? I had a 90-page paper on Sputnik, and now it's gone, and I've got nothing.
It's a rough time when you lose your, like, extensive paper just because you plugged in the microwave.
Yeah, thank God we don't live in those Stone Age times anymore, am I right? Like, jeez.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that this is just because Alan is really prone to doing his own housework? Like, is he doing some, like, faulty electric work?
Oh, I could see that being true. I mean, yeah, he didn't hire a proper... Here's the thing. What drives me crazy is this happens, like, three times in one episode. Stop using that outlet until you fix the issue. Yeah. Like, this is dangerous, people. It's
very dangerous. Very dangerous.
To Alan's defense, a little bit. And maybe it's just men in general. I also would continue to use a microwave if it was broken, as long as I didn't have to pay to get it fixed. So,
well, okay. So, like, recently I have, like, I'm really into green smoothies. I have one pretty much every day. And I have a Nutribullet. And a couple weeks ago, I, like, used it. And I guess it overheated, but started smelling like smoke like bad stuff. And I was really nervous because I was leaving the house and I was just nervous to leave it with like the dogs. So I figured like if I bring my burnt overheated Nutribullet in the car with me, then at least the dogs would be safe. Like I could blow up in the car, but at least the dogs would be safe, right? Turns out I plugged it back in just to be risky and she came back to life. So
that's good.
So I'm like one plug
away.
So you
didn't get stuck in the 50s is what you're saying.
I was going to say you didn't get transported back in time.
No, I went to the future.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. I was going to say, what's it like? Is it better than the present?
No.
Oh no.
Oh no. That's not good.
Oh, no.
Not good at all.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was watching this, and quite frequently I thought to myself, man, I wish I could electrocute myself and go back into the 50s. Like,
yeah.
And like that would have been a horrible time to live, too, but, like, a simpler time.
Now is a bit tough. So yeah. I felt that the entire time I was watching this episode. By the way, we're talking season 2, episode 19 of Boy Meets World. I was a teenage spy. Mm-hmm.
Was it season 2 or are you sure it wasn't season 3?
Oh, season 3. I keep writing season 2 in my notes and I don't know why. I think it's just because I'm like we're flying through this show so quickly. But mm-hmm. I also because we're on season 2 of Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, there was a
me up constantly.
I glanced back up at the top corner of the screen of the name of the StreamYard that said season 3, 1920, because there was at one point where I said, did I watch the wrong episode? And why are these references still fitting?
If you guys can go to any decade and live there, what decade would you live in?
I had that same question, so queued up for you guys.
I mean, I think, like, I don't know. I feel like going to the past is tricky because, like, a lot of the stuff that we have gotten over time and, like, trends that have, you know, gotten better, it's tricky. But, like, I still feel like the 90s was, like, a really great decade. I know it's, like, right? It's kind of obvious that I would pick
that. Would you be an adult in the 90s?
Yeah, I'd rather go back to the 90s as an adult. I already experienced it once as a kid. Feel like that's the move.
Would we have an easy time getting back to the present time?
Yeah, you just plug in a jukebox or whatever. Well, what if
you want to go back to a time where there was no electricity?
Yeah, like Jurassic Park or something.
Yeah, because I want to go back and see dinosaurs.
Hell yeah, Chad. Yeah. Who wouldn't?
Yeah, I want to go back.
See dinosaurs.
I've seen enough Flintstones to know that time period looked lit. I mean, feet powered cars.
You know what you have to do is you have to, like, when there's a lightning storm, you just have to stand on, like, the tallest hill out in the open and hope to get electrocuted to get home.
Yeah, I think you have to, or like hope a dinosaur just, like, eats you if you can't. Like,
I mean, then you die. I don't think you'd get transported back.
Yeah, but I feel like if I couldn't go back, I'd just be like, all right, Mr. Dinosaur, eat me. Or I'd want to go back to, like, or go forward to, like, the year, like, 3075. Yeah, like, a year that I, a year that I know, like, oh, I will not be alive to see this, so let's see how wild it is.
Yeah. Sarah, what about you? Where would you go? Or when would you go, I should say?
I feel like I have a weird connection to the 80s because I really like synthesizer music. So I'm pretty convinced that I would go to the 80s and bop around then.
Okay. I like that answer. I think it's a good answer. 80s had good music, good style, you know?
The 80s were one of the ones I was thinking about too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen enough Stranger Things to feel like I would love that time period.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of mind flayers and stuff going on in the 80s, and I'm not 100% sure of that I would like that. You know, it's like real life D&D.
Yeah, real life D&D sounds fun until you die. And then, you know.
Right. Until you realize that, like, it would be a hellscape. Yeah. It would be terrifying.
So let's get into these episodes here. First one, I Was a Teenage Spy. We start off at Chubby's. There's going to be a 50s sock hop dance. And Corey asked Topanga to go, but she says no. Here's the thing. I have a bone to pick with this. Topanga says Corey broke up with her. Mm-hmm. Was it not super mutual when they broke up, Sarah?
Oh, it was 110% mutual, but for whatever reason, they have changed the narrative and said that Corey broke up with Topanga.
Yeah.
And it's not true. It is not true at all. It was very mutual. And in fact, I feel like Topanga actually, you know, kind of brought that up first.
She was the one who was like, we don't want to hate each other. I don't want to hate you, Corey. Like, Chad, tell me this is not some nonsense. Like, they are completely changing the story here.
Yeah, I mean, they do that a lot in Boy Meets World with the Corey and Topanga saga, especially in future seasons. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, spoil anything. But, like, they very liberally rewrite the timeline of Corey and Topanga's relationship. And always are very willing to be like, meh, it's this now. So this is just like an early example of that. And I still, every time I watch this show, I constantly just see Corey Matthews and think, this was me in middle school. Like, the way he says, like, the way Corey talks throughout the entire show, saying things that, like, no human being would, like, the way he talks, no human being speaks, but, like, I speak that way. I had curly hair in middle school. Like, Corey Matthews is just my spirit animal. And I constantly see myself being like, I would react very similarly, which is probably a bad thing, but here we are.
So we're now at the Matthews, and Corey's working on a term paper. Apparently, Eric plugs in the microwave and, like, completely short circuits the entire house, and Corey loses everything because he didn't save. This was, like, back in the day when you didn't have, like, a Google Docs that auto-saved your shit every 5 seconds.
Auto-save is a lifesaver, but I don't even think Word has auto-save. Maybe if you have to enable it. I remember creating things in Photoshop or AutoCAD and your computer crashing, that's the worst, because that is hours and hours of work. You got to enable the autosave. That is like 101 whenever you're doing anything on the computer.
It reminded me of like back in the day when like dial up was like the internet connection, and you'd be like, it would take you like 40 minutes to get like anything to load. Yeah. And then as soon as you're like, okay, here we go, we're cooking with gas now, the phone would ring and you'd have to reboot everything. And I feel so old when I say that, because I'm sure some people listening are like, what the hell is dial up? But like, no, I feel it.
Yeah. No, this is definitely in that era. And apparently Corey's term paper is on the space race. So they're all, Amy and Alan are all telling him about it and how important it was. And it was all about like a communist witch hunt. And of course, Feeny comes in. And they're all talking about how, like, you know, the 50s aren't all they're cracked up to be. And Corey thinks that, like, oh, it's such a simpler time. It must have been so much easier back then. Of course, he plugs in the microwave and he's transported to the 50s in chubbies, nonetheless.
Jess, I'm not going to lie. When you asked me, Chad, will you come back on the podcast and cover season 3, episode 19 of Boy Meets World? At first, I was like, why this episode? But then the more I watched it, and the more crazy and ludicrous the show got, the more I thought, okay, this is why I was brought on for this episode.
You and this episode are like a perfect fit.
It's absolutely ridiculous, the stuff that happens on this episode. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's wild. I can't even imagine, like, what's your reaction? You go to use your microwave, electrocuted, I'm in the 50s. Like, that's just... Yeah. Who pitched that to the Boy Meets World creative?
I don't know.
And I could tell you my reaction would not be what Corey's is. He's like so excited to be in the 50s. Sarah, tell me your reaction would not be elated.
I would be like curious, but I obviously would want to, you know, get back home. Mm-hmm. For me, it's like I kind of think of like Pleasantville, and it's like,
yeah.
Gosh, like it's really like not comfy to go back to these times where obviously everything was just so like messed up. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, the 50s are what people think of like America in the golden ages. But I know. But that's what the people want. They want to go back to the, and it was all sorts of screwy.
Yeah, there's back so then. Many backwards things in these times. They don't get into every one of them on the show, obviously, because it is somewhat of a lighthearted show. But we do get to see at least some of the issues.
After I got done freaking out and then realizing, holy shit, I've discovered time travel, I think my next move would be, I'm going to place bets on every Super Bowl from now until I am no longer in this time, and I'm going to be rich.
Yeah. I mean, we do see Corey try to do that. Or at least buy stock, you know, similar philosophy. So he's in chubbies. We see Topanga's dancing. She looks very different than the Topanga we know.
Can you, like, what was that? What are 50s dance moves? Like,
it's like twist. It looks like
a twist, a little shuffle.
Are, like, generations from now, are they going to look back at, like, the wobble and, like, dance moves from like our generation and go, what in God's name are they doing?
I'm sure.
And what types of dances are going to be popular then? That's like the entire time I just kept thinking, like, what, everything's been thought of. What is there to do now?
Well, I think it's just going to be the evolution of all the TikTok dances brought to life.
Can you imagine in, like, you know, 2050? When they're sitting in history class and they're learning about TikTok, how just odd that's going to sound to people.
Oh, like, goodness. It sounds odd to me now. I'm trying to be hip. I'm on the TikTok. I got stuck in Alabama Rush TikTok, quote unquote stuck. it's very weird, but it's kind of like how people think that like Zanga and MySpace is now, like a thing of the past.
Yeah.
People don't get it. They're like, why would you write in a diary online on Zynga.
Because that was the thing to do.
Yeah.
I liked to write on Zynga, and I would call my posts Zynga Unchained, and I would write Brad Pitt quotes the entire time.
Brad Pitzer quotes.
Yeah, Brad Pitzer quotes. Yeah.
So Topanga's hair is shorter. It's very high. It has a lot of height to it. She has a wacky accent.
Yeah. This is Tracy Turnblatt hair from Hairspray.
Yes, very much so. She has like this wild accent. She doesn't know Corey. Corey finds out it's 1957. He says, "Great, Caesar's ghost. I've gone back in time." And he seems like super jazzed about it. And then
see, like that. I would shout "Great Caesar's ghost" unironically if something shocking happened to me.
With such enthusiasm.
Yeah, like I literally said, "Oh my stars and garters!" a couple days ago I was working. It just came out of my mouth. I didn't even know what I said. I was like, "What was that?" And then I said, "I don't know." And then I said, "My heavens!" Like almost immediately after,
"My heavens."
My heavens! Like,
oh no. So Corey ends up at school. He sees Sean. Sean is like, I mean, honestly, his aesthetic isn't that much different. He has a leather jacket, some slacks. His hair, though, is very like slicked back, very like greaser vibes.
Yeah, he looks like he's doing his best Harley Kiner impression.
Yes, he does. And Corey calls him Sean. He goes, "It ain't Sean. It's Sean Z."
Sean Z, Hunterelli.
Mm-hmm. I love it so much. He doesn't have any friends. He's a loner. We see Feeny, who also looks a little bit different. His hair looks to be like dyed, and he has like this mustache that's, I don't know, it's a look. Corey says his name is Brad Pitzer, which of course is Brad Pitzer.
Yeah, classic comedy.
Love it.
Yeah.
But he takes the blame because Sean Z was doing a prank on Feeny mm-hmm. with a bunch of ping pong balls. And Sean Z's like, "Why'd you do that?" Corey says, "You know, like we've always done that. That's what we mm-hmm. do for each other. We're here so for cute. Each other." Yeah. And then Topanga gets in trouble because her hair is too high and Feeny has a ruler and is measuring it. And it's a hazard to all flying aircrafts. And she goes, "If I see an aeroplane, I'll duck, all right?"
Yeah, I love aeroplane.
"If I see an aeroplane, I'll duck."
You know what her accent reminds me of, Sarah? It reminds me of It Takes Two.
Oh, yeah.
With the one girl.
Yeah. You know what I thought? I hear you. I agree. But also, I feel like, especially because she's going as TL, it was giving me TK vibes.
My last episode. We're going full circle.
Yeah, full circle. See, we are scheduling geniuses.
We are. We are. Yeah, I agree. I heard that too, especially because like her character in this episode was more of like a rebel like TK. So I saw that too. I especially love the like Feeny making her spit out the gum. And it's like ting. Like when she spits it both times this episode.
Was she, and then the only thing is she wasn't wearing any sex kitten sweaters.
Oh my god. I forgot about the sex kitten.
Where is it? Where are they?
Oh no. Yeah.
I like how she puts in another piece of gum as soon as Feeny makes her take it out.
Yeah.
That was a funny running gag too.
Yeah. And I love the name is TL, as in tough luck for any sucker that don't know better.
Yeah.
And then of course we have Turner. I mean, he is like, this is his first day at school.
He was my favorite. He's like dressed episode.
Like very like nerdy-ish. He can't control the classroom. They're talking all about like what will life look like in 40 years. And I love when he calls on Topanga and he goes, "Young lady, your hair is up."
I gotta say though, even nerdy, still hot.
Of course he is.
I think he looks better. I like this.
Don't even get me started. Yes. I was into it. I was
very into it. The glasses. Hello.
Yes. Zaddy-ish. Yes.
Yeah. Sean Z doesn't know, doesn't have an answer. But Corey's like, "Oh, I've got this." He's like, "In the future, we're going to have a man walk on the moon. Pizza will have cheese baked right into the crust. And men and women will be equal partners in the workplace and the relationship." Sure. I mean, I don't know that we walked in the moon. I'm a moon conspiracy theorist. What about you, Chad?
Wait, what? Really?
What? What have we stumbled into?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, let's stock down for a minute.
I don't see any proof.
Is this a bit?
I think it's a bit. I can't tell. She's smiling.
It's my favorite conspiracy.
I don't think cheese and crust exist. That's my conspiracy theory.
Cheesy crust. What do you mean?
Cheese crust. I had stuffed crust pizza long ago.
I used to work in pizza. I don't believe it.
Wait, Pizza Hut? Is that where you used to work?
No, that was just me stammering because I was trying to still grasp my head around the mood conspiracy.
Yeah.
No, I worked for the Howie variety of my pizza.
Okay, I think that maybe it was filmed in a studio because I don't think they had capabilities.
This is nonsense.
I think that it probably happened, but then why haven't we been back?
See, I think the reason why we haven't been back is because there's a Yeti on the moon.
Yeah, that's more logical than filmed the landing on
Earth. And he said, if you ever come back again, to think again, and scared us. And that's why we've never been back.
I don't know. I don't know about the Yetis. I'm just saying. And also, I think that men generally still make more in the workplace. Oh. And I think that's an ongoing
problem. That's unfortunately true.
Yes. Corey had a very idealized version of what the 90s looked like.
Exactly.
Especially
when we get to later, the way he describes it, I'm like, got shit to quibble with that. But
yeah.
So they're all practicing their ducking covers because of the atomic bombs. And I love Flash, and everybody gets under their desk and he's like, "You're dead, Brad."
You're dead.
Corey says the word butt, which is a no-no word.
Who said butt?
Who said uppay?
Who said uppay?
Shaunzi says he said it, and he says it's what we've always done. And of course, he gets yanked on the air out of the room. And this is when we see Corey trying to buy stocks for Xerox, an IBM, a Nikola share. He wants them all. Good investment, IBM, at that stage, I would say.
Yeah. Xerox didn't even exist, apparently.
No.
Do you think he was trying to get into Bitcoin early?
Yeah. Where's the Dogecoin?
Yeah. Yeah. Would you just if you went back in time to the 50s, instead of gambling on things that are going to happen, would you just beat people to the punch and just try to make things already?
I don't know, because it depends on what you're making, right? I don't know how to do iPhones and shit. I think I would go the route of buying stocks and betting on things, because that is more of it's less work, really.
Yeah, I probably would too, but once I amassed a fortune, I think I would then be all right, let's make Facebook.
Yeah, I've had so many inventions that people steal.
Nice.
It's very frustrating.
Do they take them on the moon?
Now I need more. Now I need examples.
Okay, so
what did you invent?
Okay, I invented tickets on your phone. I was they need to have tickets for the train on your phone, an app. And then a year later, they came out with that. And then one time I invented a Bluetooth phone and speaker system in your helmet for motorcycles. And it existed after
dangerous?
That.
Because you can't hear vehicles around you.
I don't know what to say. It exists. I have other inventions, but people keep stealing them.
Well, you better get to work on all of them before everybody steals every single one.
I know, it's really unfortunate.
Can you pitch us a current invention that you're working on or have an idea for?
No, because I just know they're going to steal it again.
All the listeners will steal it.
Yeah.
We see Eric. He looks like he could invent something. He's been accepted to Harvard and Yale. They've asked him to teach. And Feeney warns him that there are no women at Harvard. And Eric says, good, I don't want to be distracted. So obviously we're in opposite land. What's weird
this alternate universe, Eric sucks.
Well, that's the thing, is Eric and Topanga are like complete opposites, but Sean is like the same.
So yeah. Understand. Well, and like Turner's completely different too. Like,
yeah, Turner's different, but Feeny's the same. Yeah, so, like, it's like none of this tracks.
Well, I think this just proves that classic theory that Sean and Mr. Feeny are actually time travelers.
Ah, okay. Mm. Yep.
Yes. That classic boy meets world conspiracy.
Yes, that's the one we've all heard of.
Yes.
So apparently Sean is being sent to reform school. Sorry, Sean Z. is being sent to reform school. Corey realizes that the 50s aren't as perfect as he thought they'd be. Mm-hmm. Topanga says they should go to Slim's and get a burger, which I love the opposite of Chubby's.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yes. And he's like, well, why don't we go to the zoo and see the giraffes and then get some Rocky Road ice cream? And she's like, what do you think that I like them giraffes in the Rocky Road? Like, I know you better than anybody else.
Yeah.
This is weird, right? Can you imagine, like, you're living your time zone and just this random dude says, hey, I'm your friend, and just, like, knows your deepest secrets? Like, yeah. I if I was Sean Z and he was like, it's what we've always done, I'd be like, get away from me. Like, I never spoke to you in my life.
Yeah. Like, yeah, especially when he's looking at her with, like, the googly eyes and she's like, stop looking at me like that. You're giving me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, I'd be like, oh no, like, Gossip Girl's here. Yeah. They know everything.
Yeah, I'd be like,
XOXO.
I'd be Sean Z Huntarelli would be giving Brad Pitzer a swirly or something. Like,
shoving him into lockers. We do see him in a locker.
Yeah.
So the Russians have launched a satellite and everyone's freaking out. They think it's an atomic warhead. Corey realizes, of course, it's Sputnik. But no one has any idea what the hell Sputnik is. And he says, Russians are doing space travel experience. He says, where he's from, no one worries about the space race. And so, of course, people think he's Russian and he's a spy.
Yeah, at first I was like, well, that's a stretch. But then I really thought about it and I went, no, actually, I don't think that is a stretch. I would think that, too, if I wasn't from that time zone.
It's the way he said, where I'm from, no one where is I'm worried. From.
My parents told me all about it. Yeah. All about it. It's just Sputnik. And I guess, like, back in the day, everybody accused each other of being spies, right?
Yeah, everyone thought everyone was, like, a communist spy.
This is like the advanced witch trials when everybody thought everybody was a witch. It's like, oh, you're a communist now.
Same thing, yeah.
Yeah. Chad, are you Russian?
I don't believe I am.
Oh. I am Russian and Romanian.
I was rushing to get over here because I was running late. Because
you're a little late. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm
the spy. Yes.
I had to make a white Russian at work today.
There you go. I don't really like alcoholic beverages that have milk in them.
It's weird. I'm not a big fan of it either.
Yeah, not for me. So Shanzi puts Corey in a locker, and he's hidden away from everybody until the coast is clear. Then they give him one of those mustache nose glasses things.
Yeah.
Favorite bit. I love that so much.
Tell me why he legit looked like Eugene Levy after that.
Yeah, it's the eyebrows, right? Like, he needs those
identical eyebrows.
I lost them in the move when I moved away from college, but I used to have a pair of those glasses in my apartment, like,
wow, not surprising at all.
Just to have them, yeah. And I would wear them out just because I thought it was funny. Like, I'd show up to, like, my work, and I'd, like, take my actual glasses off and put those on, and then go, "Hi, Chad," and I'd go, "I'm not Chad. Who am I? I'm a mystery man." And they'd be like, "Chad, you do this, like, every Tuesday. Please stop."
Yeah, it's not surprising at all to hear that. That's thing that you would do, Chad. So they get back to the Matthews residence. Sean Z and TL think that Corey's a spy, but Sean Z says they're friends now. And apparently the Harvard trained dogs are out for Corey. We see Morgan, who's like a really well-behaved child, and tells Corey that he's not allowed to have brownies before dinner. She's like, all right, Morgan, like, don't be a brat. Come on. Let him have a brownie. He's had a hard day.
Yeah.
And we see, okay, Sarah, is this the guy from Happy Days?
Yeah, this is the father from Happy Days, Howard Cunningham.
Okay.
Oh, you didn't know that, Jess?
I never watched Happy Days. I know it was like a Nick and Knight show, but it never was not watched. Something I watched.
I mean, I wasn't a big Happy Days fan either, but I still knew who that was.
I watched the Happy Days back in the day on the Nick at Night. Yes. So this is also like very weird because like he's Morgan's dad, and at first he thinks that he's Corey's dad, but then Corey's like, "You're not my dad." And he's like, okay, then give me back my dime for your allowance. So now, like, they're not siblings and they're not dads. It's very weird, this track.
It made no sense. But also, if you're an agent of chaos like myself, it made perfect sense.
Yeah. So then Anson Williams comes in, who's Potsy from Happy Days. Mm-hmm. And then he's there. I don't know why he's there. I think he's there for the brownies. And then Morgan Hula Hoops, like none of this
makes sense.
It's my favorite part of the episode.
Of course,
this is like when you're dreaming and you're like, and then this happened, and then like that happened, and it was like so weird. It just like becomes like crazy. So then, Morgan looks at the paper and she sees the headline: "Curly Headed Spy on the Lam." And she goes, "Daddy, you know, he's a spy."
Yeah, it's a whole weird thing. And if it's very dreamlike, because the guy just picks up the phone and says, "FBI?" Yeah. It's like he doesn't even dial anything. And it's like
the FBI called him.
Yes, yes.
Like, oh, he's here.
Yeah, and Morgan's like, "You're going to jail, spy." And she's like, no, Morgan, he's still a guest until he's picked up by the police. So Corey goes to jail, and he says he's from the United States. He has visitors. It's Alan and Amy. I think we'd know our own son, but of course, then they start talking in their Russian accents as Boris and Natasha. I love this. Good. He knows our code names. And then she gives him a muffin and says, "You need to be strong when they torture you." I love this. I love this moment in the episode. Especially, I love their outfits. I think Amy and Alan look very cute as 50s Russian spies.
And yeah. I think, and while this episode just makes no sense, it's like the timeline of Boy Meets World, and like, I feel like this, and this scene in particular, must have been so much fun to just do. Like, the actors in this scene look like they were having just so much fun doing this scene.
Yeah, even when like the alarm goes off and everybody like goes inside the jail cell to like duck and cover, like just a lot of fun. And then apparently it was Sean Z and TL who set off the alarm, and they have a new disguise for Corey. It's a chicken head. Did you like the chicken head, Chad?
Yeah, it reminded me of our high school mascot. The chickens. Yeah. Well, no, we were the Eagles, but our mascot was just a bird head also. It was a person in normal clothing with the head of an eagle.
No.
And that was the mascot.
Why? They didn't spring for an outfit?
My freshman and sophomore year, we had a full eagle. I know, because I wanted to be the mascot. I tried out.
Also not surprising. Yeah, this tracks.
But then, like, my junior and senior year, I used to always make fun of us. They'd be like, "Oh, we're too lazy to pony up." We're like, what happened to the other half of the eagle costume?
Somebody had to have stole it or something.
Yeah. Peed in it or something.
Or peed in it? Is that what you said? Yes. Somebody either stole it or peed in it. Those are the only two possible.
The only two options that make sense.
It's one of those two, and nothing else could have happened to it.
Do you think
it.
That's, like, a senior prank that went wrong?
Peeing in the mascot costume?
No, not the peeing. Like, the somebody took it.
Oh no, like, I was thinking somebody like got drunk when they were the eagle and then like peed themselves in it. I think that makes sense.
Does it?
Probably not, but in my head it made sense.
Like, can your school not afford another eagle costume?
Well now they're no longer the Eagles.
Oh, what are they now?
Well, so my high school, we had two high schools in my town. One was Lapeer East and one was Lapeer West. and Lapeer East were the Eagles and Lapeer West was the Panthers. And then 2 years after I graduated, they're like, yo, we're combining the high schools together.
Boston are the Panthers.
Well, no, they're the Lightning Bolts.
Oh.
Yeah.
That just got said out of nowhere.
Yeah, Lightning Bolts. In Greek mythology, when the panther gets with the eagle, they always become the lightning bolt.
Well, it was funny too because like our high school was like, all right, here are the choices. It's coming down to like the Griffins, which makes sense. It's a cat eagle, or the lightning bolts. Yeah. And I said, surely no one will take the lightning bolts. That'd be stupid.
That'd be ridiculous.
And sure enough. And so then, like, my brother's, like, senior year, they're the lightning bolts. And we went to, like, that football game. My brother was in the marching band. So I went to see his – and they unveil the new mascot. And I'm over here thinking to myself, everyone's like, oh, it's going to be, like, Thor or, like, some, like, Greek god or a Viking. And I said, it's literally going to be a dude wearing a lightning bolt costume. Yeah. And sure enough, they go, all right, everyone, bolt up. We're in the strike zone. Give it up for Larry the Lightning Bolt.
Larry and I'm like, I said,
I hate this. And yeah. This guy shows up literally wearing a lightning bolt as a costume. Oh, and – and everyone was like, what do you think of this, Chad? And I went, I'm shocked.
That's terrible.
Yeah. I liked it. That was a dad joke. I liked that. Good.
No, but the lightning bolt stuff is terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know what the, let's see, you.
The chicken head costume.
No, okay. Yes, but I was trying to think of a segue of, like, Chauncey's makeout pad. You know, you feel lightning when you kiss people at Chauncey's makeout
pad.
Yeah,
sometimes when you make out with someone, there's sparks.
There you go. Lightning, sparks, Chauncey's makeout pad. Yeah. He doesn't use it much, and there's a girl there. He starts making out with her. Corey tries to prove to TL that he is from the future because he says, my mom writes my name on my underwear, and of course he's wearing Eric's underwear. TL says, doesn't matter where you're from. What matters is that you're here. TL admits she does like giraffes, and sometimes she drowns her sorrows in Rocky Road ice cream. Would you look at me that way? I don't like. And then they kiss a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear on the radio, the manhunt for Brad Pitzer is still on. So he needs to find the wise man at Chubby's to figure out a way to get home.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you think of this version of Eli with his bongos?
Oh, I like Eli with his bongos. What I don't like is that Corey says, where I come from, people aren't worried about bombs, satellites, Russian spies. It's a problem, sure, but most people get along.
Yeah, that's nonsense, Corey.
Yeah.
Sorry, this I hate to like... break it to you, Corey, but those problems still exist, and we're 30 years later than when you were, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, the entire time I was watching, I went, that hasn't aged well.
No.
That don't think that aged well then.
No, no. So, yeah, we got Eli and his bongos.
I love bongos.
Yeah, they're totally a vibe.
I have a pair of bongos.
No.
Yeah.
I love that for you.
Yeah. Well, I guess they're at my parents' place, but I had a pair.
Oh. And then we got the wise man who does not have bongos.
Mm-mm.
And he gives advice. He says, you know, there's no place like home. Clip your ruby red slippers.
Yes. Go find a microwave. Plug it in. You'll be back to your house in no time. But of course, Corey can't find a microwave in 1950. But there is a jukebox. So Corey says bye to Chauncey and TL. TL says she can make it worth his while. And they kiss again. The sirens are going off, and this is when Eric finds him. Spy, spy, spy. But Corey wakes up. He's on the couch, and he says, I'm not Brad Pitt. I love Morgan just being like, duh. Sassy Morgan is great. Gotta admit. Yeah. I'm enjoying her.
Yeah. So this dude was on obviously he's Mr. Miyagi from The Karate Kid, but he was also – in Happy Days, he played
who knew
Matsuo Arnold Takahashi on Happy Days. So it made sense. Like, if you didn't know that, it'd be like, why is the wax on, wax off guy there?
Which was exactly my reaction, which was exactly what I was wondering.
Wax on, wax off.
And right. But it makes sense because he's also in Happy Days, I guess. I guess it makes sense. I'm trying to justify it. It doesn't make sense.
What a wild show Happy Days must have been. They've got one of the best theme songs in the history of television.
Fair enough. Very good theme song. Yes.
Yeah. But I still have seen not one episode.
It was, I remember it used to be on a Nick at Night, but like it was after the shows I watched. So like I was going to bed when Happy Days was coming on is what I remember. Like, I feel like it was like the 10 o'clock mark or something.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of like Happy Days, and it's something I wanted to talk about at the beginning of the episode, but then forgot. Did you guys have sock hops when you were in school? What is a sock hop?
Yeah, it's a 50s themed party, like a 50s themed dance. And yeah, we would have sock hops where you just like dress like in 50s garb. Usually you would.
Do you not wear shoes?
No, you wear shoes.
I don't know why it's called a sock
hop. Why is it called a sock hop?
You probably did take off your shoes in the hop.
I would never go to an event where the theme is everyone's going to dress up and be hot and sweaty. Oh, also, we're not wearing shoes.
So the term came about because dancers were required to remove their hard-soled shoes to protect the varnished floors of the gymnasium. There you go. We didn't really have any. We might have had like one, but I don't really remember going to any in my high school.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so Corey wakes up from this fever dream and everybody's there and like, Corey, are you okay? And he's like, Shaunzi, you're here. And he's like, where is she? Where is she? I know she's here. And of course Topanga's there. She got the ice pack. You know, Corey's crushing hard.
This is so strange because like we'll get to it because we're covering two episodes this podcast. Like, to go from this where he's, like, kissing Topanga in the 50s and, like, he seems to have unresolved feelings for her at the end of this episode. The next episode, it's like, it didn't even happen. Which it didn't. But his feelings are still there. It's just strange. And she says, you're giving me the heebie-jeebies.
The heebie-jeebies. Yeah, I mean, I think that in episode 21, we will see a continuation of Corey having feelings for Topanga. So it's not the end, but it's a setup. So in the end scene, Corey is on the laptop, this old like gray laptop, and the batteries are low. Once again, always you gotta plug it in. Gotta plug it in, and he plugs it in and gets shocked again.
Stop using that outlet, for God's sake.
I know. He's worried that he's, you know, transformed, but everybody remembers him, so he feels safe. And then all of a sudden, future Feeny comes in his spacesuit. He's like, I've got the Earth alien, and I'm gonna beam him up. I liked future Feeny.
Yeah, can I get a spin-off show of like Space Force Feeny? Like,
yeah. I didn't watch it, but apparently Corey mentions Captain Feeny in the Girl Meets World episode Girl Meets Upstate. So if anybody wants to go and check that out.
Oh, that's my favorite Girl Meets World episode.
God.
I remember it well.
Yeah, all of them really are my favorites.
It's, you know, it's hard to really pick just one.
Jess,
so, what about you? What's your favorite episode?
I haven't watched it, and I will not.
Yeah, I know.
It shouldn't have been made. The story was done. It didn't need to happen.
Well, it could have been made, but just better.
Yeah, that's fair, too. What did you think of this episode, Chad? How do you feel about it?
It's absolutely ridiculous. It's crazy. It's silly. And it's my jam. Like, I liked it. Honestly, I think I liked the other episode better. Just because the best thing about Boy Meets World, and it's like the best, but it's also the most frustrating thing about Boy Meets World, is they do such a good job of like progressing characters and fleshing out characters and growing them. But then also with certain characters, they bring back the same hurdles that Sean in particular is one of them. Like Sean has so much growth, but also at the same time doesn't grow at all because he's always that, oh, I'm just the kid from the trailer park and no one ever likes me and I'm always counted out. And he does that literally until like the last season of the show. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's just like, oh my God, Sean's having a moment again. Like, Sean would be exhausting to be friends with.
Oh, it's a little emotional.
Yeah. But yeah. I still like a lot of the Sean and Turner stuff. Mm-hmm. It was probably some of my favorite stuff about the show. So anytime I get some of that, I'm all about it.
Yeah. Yeah. This episode was like very silly. I don't mind it as a one-off. But like, I don't know. It does feel like a bit, I don't want to say useless. I guess it just feels like a bit strange. Like, it's better than like the Corey werewolf one for sure, right? No context.
Or it's better than the later season where Corey goes back in time again. Yeah, only like, this time it's like the 20s.
Yeah, like it's fine as like a one-off. I think it's silly, like the Shaunzy of it all, the TL stuff, like Topanga's ridiculous outfit, or excuse me, outfit, but also accent when nobody else has a wild accent like that. I appreciate it for that, but I tend to agree that like the next episode, while frustrating, I think I appreciate more because it does dive into that deeper stuff with Sean. Sarah, what did you think?
Well, I remember these episodes always being such an event on TGI Fridays because they really hyped them up and they had like a lot of I was looking it up and I don't think this one had it, but oftentimes they had all of the shows on the TGI Friday lineup be themed episodes. So the one where he goes back and he's like a war vet, that one, like Sabrina the Teenage Witch had it, and like the other shows, it was like a big thing. And then like the Halloween episodes, usually that was a big event where all the TGI Friday lineup shows. So it was always exciting to get these like genre episodes, like, or like these alternate reality or dream episodes. And that kind of is like a ongoing theme throughout the series that we'll continue to see. So it's exciting because it's our first one like this. Mm-hmm. Besides, I guess the werewolf episode is the other one that like is kind of like this. But
yeah, but that one is not as good as this one.
No. So I liked it for what it was. I thought that it was fun, and I think that I agree. I like that it's like a one-off, like we'll just like, you know, wipe our hands clean of it and we won't think of it after this.
Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, let's get to our next episode. We were already kind of talking about it a little bit. Episode 20, I Never Sing for My Legal Guardian. So we're in school. Sean and Corey are going to be late for class. Sean is on the phone trying to like leave or check his voicemails because he's trying to see if Chet has left him any messages. And this is not the first time that like this has come up this season. Chet apparently had said he was on his way to see the Pope. So Sean is like very frustrated. He hasn't been hearing from Chet. And Corey says there's a problem with Sean that goes beyond puberty. I don't know why that made me laugh so much. Oh. It's such a stupid joke, but the
puberty. Yeah, I have in IMDb, apparently Ben Savage hates saying the word puberty. So he like actually said it, like that wasn't like written in the script. He actually said that, and what? Turner's reaction to it was genuine. He was like, puberty? Apparently he hates the word puberty.
But how is puberty bad?
I think it's like less like, I don't know, puberty. I don't know. Like, apparently it makes Ben Savage feel more comfortable.
I was gonna say something, but I don't have this family podcast, so
it's not a family podcast.
I was gonna say what would make you feel sillier, saying puberty or puberty?
Oh yeah, both are bad.
Which vulgar word is like
poo. boys love saying talking about poo. It's
as a boy, I try to avoid.
Any
poop talk.
You don't like the poo.
I don't like the poo. I pass on the poop. All yeah. right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that like both are kind of silly, but I understand. Turner doesn't think Chet is coming back anytime soon. His calls are coming fewer and farther in between. And apparently a few months ago, he sent paperwork to Turner to make Turner Sean's legal guardian. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't done anything with it yet. We'll get into that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. And Turner says it's already tough enough living in a really small apartment. So they talk about potentially like looking for bigger places, and Corey owes Turner $40. So he's in back.
Yeah, because he like went into his ATM account Ridiculous. And stole $40 from him. That's not right.
No.
It's not right. We have Turner and Sean are getting back from looking at new apartments, and apparently Sean didn't like any of them. None of them were good enough for him.
What do we think this is about? Like, Chad, do you think it's just a matter of like he doesn't want to move again? Like, he wants to be in a permanent spot his next time moving, and he still has like hope his dad is coming back? Like, what is the deal with this?
I think that's exactly it. And I think I always kind of thought it as, I think deep down Sean knew, or at least like thought, my dad's not coming back. And while he's still holding up hope because it is his dad, I do think he's like, no, I want to go somewhere that's permanent. I want my next spot to be the spot. I'm sick of floating around and moving. Mm-hmm. And that's why he was doing that way. And I think he just really wanted – Sean just wants some male figure in his life to own up and say, I'm your dad now, Sean. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. He just wants, whether it's Chet, whether it's Turner, whether it's Mr. Matthews, whether it's Feeney, you know, whether it's the dude from Chubby's. Mm-hmm. Whether it's Minkus, whether it's – I'm just naming male people on the show now. He just wants somebody to take charge and give Sean a place to live.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's tough. Like, he's so picky. He doesn't like any of these places. We say Eli coming in. He gets hit on by one of the tenants. Corey comes in with like all these, he's like, I got them to throw in new carpet, and he's like showing them all these samples. Corey's very cute in this episode.
Yeah, I love Corey as the real estate agent.
I love that too. It cracks me up. It fits him, you know. Corey loves the idea of Turner and them moving into a new apartment together, but Sean's just like, well, everyone's talking about me like I'm not here, so I might as well not be. He leaves in a huff. And Corey runs after him. He says, I have a linoleum that will knock your socks off.
I would say that. Like, who doesn't love some linoleum?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, vinyl I feel like I like better than linoleum, but I don't know that they had vinyl a lot in the 90s. So, and we're back at school. Eric's rushing to lunch. This is kind of this B plot of the episode. Feeney loves the pep in his step, but he doesn't realize that Eric is on his way to lunch. He thinks he's going to class. And Eric got a D on his paper for Feeney. It's like, I don't understand. I thought Eric was doing better in school, and we don't really get an explanation on like what he did wrong besides when he was in fifth grade, he took a ride in the dryer. Sarah, did you like the joke of, yeah, but my hair would have been like Corey's if I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I did like that joke. Yeah. I really, really did. So I thought that was very funny. I would like to know why Eric's paper on European monarchies just like got to a D, but, yeah. Nonetheless, so he wants to redo the paper, and then Feeney's like, I have a better idea for you. Why don't you try tutoring? And Eric's like, well, all the tutors agreed not to work with me anymore. He's like, no, Eric, you can be a tutor.
Don't you remember last time when the tutor was like trying to cheat with you, Eric? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Eric should be allowed nowhere near any tutoring of any kind.
Yeah.
So now he's going to work with Jeff Lacey.
Or should we call it pootering?
Oh, no. Perfect. Who is like a jock. He has 20 college scholarships. lined up for his sportsman stuff, and he needs a seat
for his what?
His sportsman stuff. He's a great sportsman. He's a very good sport. Yes. A horrible athlete, but goddamn, is he a good sport?
Well, sometimes all you need is like a hype person on your team. You know,
a good sportsman.
Yeah,
it's like good. He like this guy's like, hey guys, you can do it. He's like, I can't do it, but you can.
And
it's like,
Yale's like, you're goddamn right, we can. Come to Yale.
I just love the idea of like, you know, Feeny talking to, or like the guidance counselor talking to this guy's parents and like, oh, he needs a tutor. Okay, great. Who's his tutor? Oh, this guy who's like barely has a C average is going to be your son's tutor.
Right. But all he needs is a C average and like, that's good enough.
Yes, yeah, but usually you don't have someone with a C average tutoring somebody.
No, I'm okay with this. If I like, listen, I was a moron in high school, and I would have loved if somebody with like a B average tutored me. Yeah. I would love that. I've been like, oh, cool.
Yeah. Realistic expectations for everybody. So Eric wants to know what's in it for him. Like, you know, Jeff Lacey is gonna get a scholarship, and then he's gonna get to college and become a pro. And Feeny's like, the joy of helping somebody learn. And he's like, Eric says, but there's no money in it. And Feeny says, you get used to it. Poor teachers.
Oh, yeah. As somebody who went into college wanting to be an educator, like a teacher, like I feel that. That hit me right in the gut.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I'm a bartender.
You're probably making much better money, actually, with tips.
You just got a job, Chad. You just got promoted.
True, I did.
There you go. See? Successful. Congrats. We love it.
Yes, we love it. We love to see it.
Yeah. So Corey asks if Sean's decided about the condo yet. Sean says there's not going to be a move. He's sick of moving. He wants his next move to be the last one. And Corey says, well, Turner's a great friend. And Sean says, yeah, a friend. Like, he wants family. He wants a father. Yeah. He doesn't want a temporary solution.
Yeah.
So we're at Turner's and Turner's making dinner. Eli's like tasting it, but Turner's like wound very tightly. And he says in 48 hours, he's going to be Sean's legal guardian. He says it's what he needs. And this is the statement I have an issue with. I take issue with this statement. He says, I've gone this far. I might as well go the distance. I really don't like this. Might as well? Like, that does not sound like someone who's like, I'm committed to raising this kid, you know?
Right. It goes back to his commitment issues. It doesn't only have to do with women. It has to do with committing to family, committing to Sean. Like, he has commitment issues. It is deep-rooted in him, and he can't – I feel like it's just – it's not like he doesn't want Sean to be there, but making it official for Turner means it's permanent, and that scares him. So it's like, and it's the same thing with all the girls that he goes out with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like the Will Turner, Sean stuff. And the more I watch, because I go back and I watch this show a few times as an adult, like on a binge. And I just, you know, it's like, I really wish this was handled differently in the show as far as like, I wish they would have expanded on it. I wish Turner did more in like later seasons. I wish, cause I think this entire story arc just feels rushed to me. And in later episodes too, maybe you'll agree the more when you guys watch it and it rejogs your memory. I just feel like there was more story to tell here. Yeah. Turner wasn't done yet. And I know they go back and visit him again at Girl Meets World, but like, I don't care about that. Like, there was so much more to Sean and Turner as both characters. And I just feel like they rushed it. And I'm not quite sure why.
Yeah, it just feels very strange that this is the way it ends. And I agree. Like, I like Chet, but I like him as a character. I like that he returns and everything, but I wish they would have handled this a little bit better.
Yeah.
Because we saw like so much with Turner and Sean and their growth and everything and like how they needed each other, right? They both were what each other needed at that time. And it just feels like the show does Turner a disservice in this episode. So Sean comes home. He's supposed to be at the Matthews, but he was tired. He just wanted to come home. Turner has a date though. But he's like, you know, I can stretch it three ways if you want. He gets mail. Sean gets mail from his dad, from Chet. And apparently he's at a truck stop that's only 50 miles away. And Sean is very frustrated because Chet has not come to see Sean, and he's 50 miles. 50 miles is so close.
Yeah, that's so close. It is so messed up.
It's messed up that Chet hasn't come to see Sean. In my opinion, it's also messed up that Turner hasn't offered to bring Sean to see Chet. He has a fucking motorcycle. Right. Why are you not offering to drive him there? Am I right, Chad?
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, I actually never even thought of it on that end of the coin. Like, I'm always just like – And I also, in later seasons too, I also really love the Chet growth also. Like, yeah. I really like what they do with Chet. He does get, I mean, you know, you'll see in later episodes, but like, they do something with him. So like, I like to see that too. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's so weird. I just feel this entire thing could have been handled differently.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. It really could have been. I feel like they could have handled it more delicately than they did. So he throws away the mail. He says the least he could do is visit. And Turner says to Sean, like, oh, well, in 48 hours, I'm going to be your legal guardian. And Sean says, oh, well, I thought, you know, you did that months ago. And Turner's like, oh, yeah, I got the paperwork. I just never got around to filling it out. And it's like, I totally am with Sean here.
Sean's rightfully upset.
Like, you waited months. I've been living with you for months, and you just have been hanging on to this paperwork. Like, this is his life. This is Sean's life. And you've just been hanging on to paperwork for it.
Yeah, never got around to it.
Yes. He couldn't commit, right, Sarah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's definitely alarming for Sean because, you know, it's like, who's taking care of him? Like, who's looking out for this kid? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like he put all of his trust in Turner to take, like, you know, do the right thing and be there for him. And it's almost like, you know, he wasn't able to, you know, fully commit to this or fully give his full self in. And it's frustrating and surprising for Sean. And I feel really bad for him. And he's just, you know, he says it later on, but he just feels like he's just being like pushed from place to place. And there's nowhere that he's feeling like he has his home and he's a burden to everybody. I feel really bad for him.
Yeah.
And he's like, he leaves. He's like, I'm done then.
Yeah. I don't blame him. So quick interlude here to Chubby's. Eric is quizzing Jeff. He sucks at, you know, studying. Girls ask if that's Jeff Porsche outside. You know, they all fit in the Porsche. The girls can sit on your lap. Eric is in, blah, blah, blah. It's like a quick scene. Who cares, really, honestly?
Well, I mean, yeah, there's a couple of funny lines. I liked, he was like, who painted the Sistine Chapel? And he says Michelangelo, meaning like the turtle. Mm-hmm. But he actually got it right. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, it just, I guess, it's like the same thing I have the problem with in other episodes, where it's like these heavier episodes, I don't really care about these B plots that really don't matter. It's nice for Eric, right? The ending is nice for Eric, but in the short term, I'm just like, all right, let's get back to the Sean stuff, you know?
Right. I hear you.
Yeah, so we're back at the Matthews. Eric is upset. He says, what a waste of time. And Corey says, the football here is being tutored by a cheesehead. We have a lot of slapping going on in this show, Sarah. There's always somebody who's being slapped.
Oh, yeah. I don't like the hitting. We've talked about this. This has been an issue since season two. A lot of hitting, slapping, bopping. Don't love it. Amy and Eleanor are like, we're really proud, but like, we're confused why your tutor. Like, can we be sued for this?
I love that line.
We get Sean coming in asking if Amy and Alan can leave their kitchen. But the thing is that they literally physically can't leave their kitchen. They are stuck in the kitchen for all of season three,
well,
Chad.
Well, they were in the living room for like 5 seconds last episode.
Do you think, Chad, that they are like literally confined with chains or something to the kitchen that they cannot leave?
Yes. I think what happened is I think at some point they've been cursed. And cursed. I think that is the curse, the curse of the kitchen sink demon. And
ever
they,
since Alan bought that garbage disposal.
Yeah, the curse of the trash compactor. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, sorry, now, the trash compactor.
Now they're compacted into the kitchen.
I just hope in season four they leave the kitchen.
Yes.
It'd be funny if like they like walk out of the kitchen, walk into like the living room and they go, ah, that's what we painted it.
It'll be funny if they walk out of the kitchen and then they find themselves back in the kitchen. They're like, no, how do I get out of here?
And Ellen's just like, can justice electrocute me with the microwave and end this madness?
Oh, no.
So Sean asks Corey what he's doing tonight. Corey says he has a listing, but he's free after 7.
Yeah, he's showing a 3-bedroom apartment at 7:30.
I love this for him. and Sean, so Sean wants to go visit Chet. And Corey's like, oh, how are we all going to fit on Turner's bike? And Sean's like, oh, Turner doesn't know. And Corey's like, no, I'm not having any of this. And of course, the next thing we see is Sean at the police station.
And how does Sean even know how to ride the bike?
He probably doesn't. That's the most dangerous part. But again, another problem I have in this episode. So Turner picks him up. And he says, you know, that was a stupid, dangerous stunt you pulled. You could have hurt someone. And then instead of saying you could have hurt someone or yourself, he says you could have hurt someone and I'd be legally responsible. Mm. Like, I just hate that this is not the time. Like, I feel like that's later. You know what I mean? Like, keep that to yourself. Even if that's something you're thinking. No, the really thing that is concerning is that Sean could have seriously been injured. He's on a motorcycle. He doesn't know how to ride a motorcycle. He could have killed himself. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's not the time to say, like, oh, I'm legally responsible for you. It's more of, yeah, I care about you and your well-being.
Yeah. And I mean, and Sean even reacts to that too, right? Like, yeah, he's just like, yeah, like, you know, it's very, yeah, no, that should. Turner continues to take L's in this episode.
Yeah. Sarah, did this bother you too?
Yeah, it really did. I mean, he's thinking about himself. He's thinking about how his life can be affected. He's worried about his bike. You know, he's worried about the wrong things. And once again, with the words that he uses, he just makes Sean feel like he's a burden and not welcome in Turner's home anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's basically like, you know, is that, you know, what your problem is with me? Like, you just don't want to be legally responsible for me. And Turner's like, that was a cheap shot. He was like, well, why are you taking your sweet time filling out the guardianship? It's my life. You got your life. My dad has his life. I feel like I have nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's sad. It's really sad to watch this happen because Sean is obviously like crying out for help. And it just doesn't seem like Turner's really understanding what's going on here.
Yeah.
So we see Sean bringing a ton of stuff to Corey's house to store. He says he's moving in with his Uncle Mike. We love Uncle Mike. He says, I want to be back home with family. And Corey's like, oh, I thought you were like, you didn't want to move again. He's like, yeah, but I need to be with family. Like, this is the time. It's like, okay. We don't know how Turner feels about this, but all right. Alan and Amy are asking how studying with Jeff was. Eric says he's frustrated with trying to tutor Jeff. He can burp through his ears, apparently.
Ew.
That's an incredible talent.
It's disgusting.
That you learn that when you're a sportsman.
That's what they teach in locker rooms, how to burp through your ears.
He may not be that much of an athlete, but by God, can he belch through his earlobes.
He says the kid has 20 colleges begging him to go there and I have none. And Eric says, maybe I have skills I don't know about. And he shoots an apple into the sink and breaks a window. So he has to
even have to pay for that. Yeah.
So Corey talks to Alan and Amy and it's in the kitchen, of course. And he says that when Eric goes off to college, his room's going to feel very empty. So he says, you know, maybe Sean can stay here. And Alan says, you know what? This isn't his home either. What does Sean's dad have to say about all this? If Sean were my son, I'd like to be consulted about his future. Okay, Alan, but if Sean were your son, you wouldn't have just fucking abandoned him somewhere.
Oh, no, never. He wouldn't. He would absolutely, you know, never.
Yeah. Like, why should Chet get a fucking say in any of this at this point?
Yeah. Yeah, no. I think so many people were just being so stupid and inconsiderate. It's just like, just think about what Sean wants. Yeah. Think about Sean Z. Hunter Ellie. What does he want to do?
He just wants to be at a place where he doesn't feel like he's a guest. He yeah. wants a permanent home. And it could have been Turner's. It really could have. But he kind of blew it because he sucks and he has commitment issues. And he can't even be there for his little buddy.
Yep.
So is this when Corey and Topanga take the bus to the truck?
Yes.
The truck stops to talk to Chet?
Yes.
This seems like dangerous too. So like, and also why couldn't like Sean and Corey take the bus? Why
was Topanga is involved here? I don't know why Corey didn't take Sean to see his own father.
Right. Why couldn't Corey just be like, hey, instead of risking your life on a bike, why don't we just go to this? Why don't we just go to the truck stop and talk to him there? Like, makes, why don't, like,
None of this makes sense besides to, like, have a scene with Topanga in it, even though all the chemistry they were talking about last episode is, like, not really here this episode. but Topanga's, like, not really happy about going there.
It's dirty and creepy.
No, it is creepy. They eventually find, Corey dances with this woman. And very strange. Again, he's like, what, 15? Like, it's kind of creepy. Do you think this is a productive use of our time, Corey? And they get the whole, would you like to step outside? Yeah, I would. And so they go off and Corey thinks they're going to like fight or something. But it's too late because Chet's already out of the back. He cooks for the truck stop. This is so nasty. He's eating a thing. He doesn't even know if it's pie.
Gross. So nasty.
Yeah, but the way he delivered the line was funny.
Yeah, pie? No, I mean, do you think it's pie? So apparently he has to get money because he's paying off parking tickets. And we learn that Chet thinks that Sean is better off with Turner. He says, and Corey says, Sean needs family. But Chet says he thinks he's better off where he is now. And Corey's like, you know what? If you love him, you'll come back for him. You know, he needs you. It's like, I don't know. I feel like this shouldn't be such a hard decision for Chet. He lives literally 50 miles away right now. Pay off your parking tickets at home with Sean. Like, I don't understand. You could get help. Like, people would help you out financially if you really needed it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, what is the issue? Like, your car is totaled? Like, you're, like, you don't have a ride? Like,
there's
these are just excuses.
I don't understand what he means by, I love him so much, I can't go back. Like, does he just think that Sean's, like, I don't know, disappointed in him or something?
Sad? I think it's a shame. Oh, sorry, I'm not saying. I think it's a shame thing. Like, I can't go back, not because he wouldn't want me to, but because I can't look the kid that I abandoned in the eyes and be like, hey, I'm here again. Like, yeah, I think that's what it's always. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that he's ashamed as well. I think that maybe he feels like if he doesn't get Verna back, then it was all for nothing. So he has to, like, put up a show up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like he doesn't want to come back. I don't think, like, I think he's going to pay his parking tickets and then go back out. He had no intention of going home to Sean at all.
Yeah. Topanga and the woman come back in, and she's going to apparently tease Topanga's hair. They're, like, buddies now. Topanga's hair teased would look – oh, my God, she has so much hair. It would look so bad. And it would be, like, snarls for days. So we're back at school, and Eric says – is talking to Feeny. He says he worked hard with Jeff, but Jeff didn't want to learn. Apparently, Jeff got a C+, though, and Eric got an A. But he doesn't –
wow.
An A what? You didn't put what? A what?
Yeah, you got to finish your sentence, Feeny.
I don't like how Feeny cuts off Eric's excitement. Like, let him have his speech, Feeny. You know, he earned it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that he, you know, I think, like, an A is a really big deal. And I think that I also think it's funny that Feeny's pretending like this isn't one of his long cons. He's like, oh, yeah, that just worked out.
Come on. This is such a Feeny con right here. Classic Feeny con.
Classic Feeny con.
Yeah, no, this was all part of the Jedi Knight lesson that Master Feeny needed to teach Padawan Eric.
Yeah, you sly dog, you. So of course Sean is back at the police station. I don't understand this. So apparently Sean moved out of Turner's, but Mike's trailer is gone. So, like, right? I don't understand how Turner, like, must have dropped him off or something. He just left him there without the trailer there. And then Sean was sleeping.
No,
in the park?
I think that Sean walked. I don't think that Turner knows where Sean is.
Did he not have the whole discussion about moving back in with
No, I think that he just left. No, I think that they're in like a fight and he just like he's been like on the run.
Yeah, it could be one of those things where it's like, well, I'm gonna go live with Uncle Mike, and then like storms out and then goes and then is like, oh fuck, Uncle Mike's not here right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just gonna sleep on the ground. And he got picked up by the police. And you know, guess who's there? Chet. Yeah. And the sad thing is, like, at first Sean's like, oh my gosh, you're here for me, like you're going to bail me out, you're gonna bring me home with you, and he's like, no, like I got arrested because of my parking tickets. And then guess who is there? Turner shows up, bails Sean out, bails Big Hunter out.
Yeah.
Because you know, basically he's like, Turner's like, I know like this is what's right because it's what you want. You want to go home with your family. And I see it in your eyes that this is the right decision. And like, you know, this was how it was meant to be. It wasn't supposed to be permanent, but you know, my couch or bed or apartment's always open for you. And I just think this is a little bit rotten because
it leaves me not feeling happy.
No, and it makes me feel so bad for Sean, and like I hate everybody else because Chet says, oh, there's nothing here for me. What? Literally, your son is here. I don't understand how you even say such a thing.
Yeah. You know? I wonder if the show is trying to tell us that we should be happy, though, because he's back with his dad. Like, they want us to be happy. But we have different goggles on now. Like, all of us feel very icky about this. We all rather him be with Mr. Turner.
I think that, like, what he needs is a stable home and a stable environment. And Turner was providing that if he would have just signed the damn papers. Whereas Chet is completely unstable, unreliable, has to be begged to come home and take care of his own son instead of chasing his wife, who he's been chasing for an entire year, who obviously gives no fucking shits about him, you know, or her son. It's just bad all around for poor Sean, who basically is just begging people to care about him. And it's really sad to watch. I don't know. Yeah. I'm mad at everybody except Sean.
Yeah, no, I feel the exact same way. I just feel like this entire, and this is it, right? Like, this is the end of, like, the Sean Hunter or Turner arc. And it's just like, I just feel so bleh about it.
Yeah.
So Turner's still in season 4, but I guess they're just living separately.
Yeah.
Because we know that he moves back in with his parents, and we even see Verna next season, his mom.
Yeah.
So I guess this is it. And I just don't feel right about it.
No. And honestly, this also makes me like not really like you go in thinking, oh, he needs to stay with Turner. But then at the end, you're like, I don't like either of these men.
Yeah.
And Sean should just, they should just stay with the Matthews. But even then it's like, but I don't know about that either. Like,
no, because like they were kind of rotten to Sean too.
They were. No one has been the best to Sean. I mean, they like offered to have him stay with them, but we didn't like how they handled that either, because they said all this stuff in front of Sean and it made him feel like very guilty about it.
I think
the show wants us to be very happy for Sean and like happy in this moment, but it really like puts a damper on it when you think about how Turner and Chet are handling this, and he's a 15-year-old kid, you know.
If it would have been like Sean is in jail, and then Chet shows up and says, I'm here to bail my boy out of jail. Mm-hmm. And then you're coming home with me, because damn it, Sean, I'm your dad. And then it was like, oh, Corey talks some sense into Chet, and now Chet's like, okay, I can feel good about that.
Then we get the warm fuzzies,
Also, my Chet impression is pretty spectacular.
Yeah, no, I liked good. It. That was
That's
very
like,
good.
You know what? That's the good thing about having Chet back, is I do love Chet's, like, Chetisms and, like, his voice and stuff. Very, like, iconic actor. So that's the good news. But I do like this final scene of the episode. They're at Turner's, they're packing up Sean's stuff, and Corey says, you know, we're friends, we help each other out. Sean invites Corey to their house for dinner. Who's cooking? You are. And Chet takes the TV. Teachers shouldn't watch TV anyways. Like, this is the stuff that we love that we get from Chet, at least, you know, the silly stuff.
And I do like Chet. Like, I like the later stuff with Chet is very, very, very compelling. And like, he's really goofy and wacky. And like in his goofiness. So like the positive parts of Chet's parenting reminds me very much of my father. Mm-hmm. And whereas the negative parts obviously doesn't. But like I see like whenever he does like it's like my dad would take a TV and say a teacher doesn't need to be watching TV. Like that's something my father would do. So like I do so and so whenever Chet does something silly like that, I'm like, oh, that's my dad.
Yeah.
And then whenever he does something shitty, I'm like, oh, that's not my dad.
Yeah, so at least we end things on like a fairly happy note. I really like this episode. Again, I don't really care about the storyline B for the most part. More Feeny Eric stuff, but I really love the Sean stuff as much as it like annoys me and it makes me angry how people treat Sean. We could see Chet again. It's a new chapter for Sean, so I like the episode.
Mm. Yeah, for me, I think that I prefer episode 19. I was a teenage spy. I just like after as much as I understand like it's important this with the story, it just doesn't leave me feeling very good. And there's just something fun about like the 50s themed episode and the themed episode in general that makes it just feel like special and memorable. So that's kind of where my vote's going for this week.
Yeah, I went in being pro episode 20, but the more I talked about it, the more I was like, you know what though, like this left me sad, and I like to be happy.
Yeah, kind of just bums
you
out.
So go episode 19.
There you go. But they're both decent episodes. I think we're like we're pushing towards the end of season 3, and I've liked a lot of these episodes, so I think it's a strong season.
Season four on is when, in my opinion, Boy Meets World's firing on all cylinders.
Oh, like, okay. Well, yeah, we're almost.
Yeah, season four I'm excited for. Mm-hmm. Season five has a lot of great episodes as well.
Coming up on it. Shall we get into the fashion hour?
I'm ready.
Awesome. Let me just share my screen here.
Everyone, fashion your seatbelts.
So normally we do a Rachel Green award for the most 90s outfit, but for this time I thought we should do a special 50s edition instead of 90s, considering so much of the first episode was in the 50s and there were some pretty iconic outfits.
Ooh, yeah.
So we're starting with TL's outfit, and this is the first outfit we see her in, doing the twist here in Slims. Sarah, what do you think about this? We have some cropped black pants, some cute little slingback heels, a leather jacket, a kind of like an emerald green V-neck sweater with a belt, a black belt, a really chunky black belt around the waist. And of course, her really very, very tall, tall hair.
Yeah, I really love it. I love the capris with the little slit. I think it's so cute. The heels. The leather jacket. We don't get to really see Topanga in a leather jacket often. So I think it's a really cool look for her. And TL is really doing something for me. I like it. Even the green, like we don't really see like a gemstone color on her, a jewel tone, this like emerald green. I think it's a really pretty color on her.
What do you think, Chad? How do you like this outfit?
Well, I admire the black belt. I didn't know TL was able to do karate, so I think that's impressive. And you know, and if you try to like, you know, fight her, you know, tough luck to anyone who don't know no better. You know, she'll. I feel like she'll. You know, she'll twist a leg for like a roundhouse kick and really, really lay someone out. So. I think this is good. I will say it's an odd choice for a karate like gi, the leather jacket with like the emerald green. But you know, I think she can stand on her own, and I think her hair is probably big enough to where she could probably also break boards by headbutting it. So I think she's ready for some karate. And it's fitting because the guy from Karate Kid is in the show. So
Next up we have Sean Z. He is wearing brown slacks with some, you know, he always wears those like combat type of boots. He has on a black t-shirt with a black leather jacket, and of course his hair is slicked back greaser style with kind of that like Danny Zuko little piece in the front. Chad, what do you think of Sean Z's outfit?
I still just think he's doing a Harley Kiner cosplay, you know. You know, Sean Hunter is one of those guys who can pull off the leather jacket and the greaser look. You know, I think if Boy Meets World took place in the 20s, I don't think Topanga would be anything like TL, but this would legitimately be Sean. Yeah. So, yeah, I like it. I mean, I wish I could pull off a leather jacket.
Sarah, what do you think of Sean's greaser outfit?
I really like it. I think that he looks really, really cool. But yeah, is it too much different from Sean Hunter? Maybe, maybe not.
It would have been funnier if they made him like nerdy like Minkus or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
they made Minkus the greaser.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't get to see Sean in all black very often. Normally he, you know, has a little bit of a lighter color palette. Mm. But I like what Chad said, that this is a Harley Craner cosplay. Mm-hmm. I think that's really funny.
And last up in the special 50s edition, we have Turner here, Nerdy Turner. He is wearing, I don't even know what color. It's like a light gray suit. He has on like a sweater vest that's like Argyle, like brown and tan and red Argyle. A white button-down shirt with a very slim red tie. His hair is like slicked back. Very, very tidy. He's wearing glasses. Chad, what did you think about this different look for Turner?
Love, absolutely love it. Like I said, the man's hot no matter what he wears. He looks like he looks like either he's about to like guest star on Mr. Rogers, or he looks like he's like the missing character from Clue. I don't know what's going on here. I love it though.
Yeah.
And not only do I love it, but I wish a part of me wants to get this exact look and sport it myself.
Yeah. Sarah, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I really like it too. I feel like he's giving me like Superman, Clark Kent vibes.
Yes, I see it.
Yeah, I love his hair like this. Mm-hmm. I think it's like, obviously we don't get to see it like this. It's very 90s normally, but this is top tier. I'm really feeling it. So I'm going to have to give my point to Mr. Turner.
Chad, what do you think? Who's your winner?
Yeah, no, the Zaddy himself is getting my point.
Yes, we stand.
Listen, Sean Hunter wanted a daddy, but what he really should have asked for was a Zaddy.
I love it. All right, so congratulations, Mr. Turner. Up next, of course, the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness for the most timeless outfit. We have Corey. This is a look from episode 20. He is wearing black denim with a black t-shirt underneath and then like a very light heather gray sweater. It's a V-neck. Sarah, what do you think about this outfit?
I mean, for a realtor, it's a little casual, but he is just a baby realtor. I like black pants. I like a black t-shirt. I think that he's looking pretty, pretty good. We've definitely evolved in Corey's fashion in the last few years, and I like the direction we're going in now.
As somebody who's wearing black jeans and a black t-shirt currently, like, I am a sweater away from having this exact look. So,
wear this sweater, Chad?
Oh, I would absolutely wear that sweater. Yeah. I literally was about to say I would wear this exact outfit. Like, I'm all aboard the Corey Matthews sweater train.
Yeah, I really like this outfit. I think it's a good look for him. Next up, we have Chet Hunter. This is when we see him in the police station. So he's wearing a dark denim jean, a very large belt buckle, of course. Tucked into that, he has a white button down with what appear to be like black vertical stripes. He has on, I don't know what kind of fabric this jacket is. It's like a gray, but it has like suede like caps on the shoulders. I don't really know what else to call it. And he has like a very typical like military style haircut. I believe he's also wearing cowboy boots. It was kind of tough to tell in the episode though.
Yeah.
What do you think, Sarah?
Big belt too.
Yes. Yes.
I mean the haircut's new, right? Like, I feel like this is a new haircut for him.
I don't think he had this previously. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is like definitely a vibe. Like, he is, I don't know. He looks like he's like literally just came out of court for his traffic tickets. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel as though, but I mean, I like this jacket for him. The pants look nice. He looks very put together for Chet. But, you know, I'm mad at him. I don't want to look at him.
Chad, what do you think?
He gives off hardcore, I coach my fourth grade son's flag football team.
I can see that. Yeah. I can see it.
Yeah. And especially like the first one, like the first picture, it looks like he's literally like walking to like the court with his son. He's like, that's my boy. And my boy's going to score the winning touchdown. He's a sportsman. He literally like, that's just the vibe. Yes. He looks like, he just looks like little league softball coach.
Mm-hmm. I could see it. And lastly, we have Sean, and this is in their moving scene at the very end. He's wearing black denim, some black shoes, looks like a white t-shirt, some kind of graphic on it, but we can't tell what it is. And over top of that is a button down, kind of like a lighter blue, button down shirt. Sorry, Chad, what do you think of this outfit?
Well, once again, as somebody who loves to rock the black jeans, I am a fan of this, and I would also wear this exact look. So you know, I was a kid in the 90s, but if I would be a very fashion forward adult if I lived in the 90s. Yeah.
Sarah, what do you think?
Yeah, I like this. I like the denim or blue shirt. I think that he looks like really dapper. But you know, why don't we just give it to the real estate agent this week? I don't know. What do you think, Chad?
I agree. I think Corey takes this one.
All right. Congratulations, Corey. So Corey and Turner are taking the wins this week. So Corey, congratulations, Paul Rudd certificate of timelessness, and Turner gets our 50s award. I don't even know like a person in the 50s that I could have used for that.
He gets the A
the A award. So yeah, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for coming on, Chad. Again, always a pleasure to have you on.
Of course, it's always great to be on Shit 90s Shows Taught Me. It's fun. You know, feel free to have me on whenever, you know.
We'll be back in contact with you for season 4.
Oh, heck yeah. I'm excited. let me scout season 4 and I'll tell you what episodes I want.
There you go. You pick and you by that, the I, list and we'll figure something out.
Yeah, as long as I get on before Adam or Tommy, I'm okay with either with whatever we do.
Okay. What do you have going on, Chad? Tell us what you got. Plug your pods.
Oh man, I've got so much going on. Actually, as soon as I get off here, I'm jumping on to record episode 11 of Sponge Podcast Pants. It's me and Bando and Jess. We've got Felipe.
Oh wow!
Oh my goodness, Mr. Felipe. You don't say. Felipe's gonna be awfully busy because he's joining us next week.
Yes, yes, and I'm also guest starring on a podcast in a couple of days. And I'm not going to say which podcast it is because one of the co-hosts doesn't know I'm coming on. So it needs to be a surprise.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Besides that though, you know, I'm working on I'm so busy. I'm always got a dinner show that's coming up in September. I'm in a play in October. It's just, my life is a mess.
Amazing. So definitely check out Sponge Podcast Pants. I've been on it. It was such a fun time. Definitely go give that a listen. Get in early while the getting's hot.
Yeah, yeah. As SpongeBob would say, I'm ready. And I'm ready for you to check out that podcast.
Sarah, what do we have coming up besides Felipe coming on next week?
Yeah, Felipe is going to be coming on for our season 3, episode 21, Happiest Place on Earth, because we can't do a Disney podcast without Felipe.
He'd murder us. He'd drive here and murder both of us.
So, yeah, we have that coming up. We are also coming out this week. It would have been up yesterday on Wednesday. For our bonus podcast, 2nd of August, 10 Things I Hate About You with Kirsten McInnes. That was very, very fun. Mm-hmm. Speaking one of Jessica's favorite movies and Kirsten's favorite movies. And then for September, we are doing a Robin Williams month. And you, the audience, will be getting to choose 2 out of 4 of movies that we cover. We don't know we're covering yet, but you'll let us know because we're doing a poll. So stay tuned for that. Very soon we'll put up that poll.
Mm-hmm. I love me some Robin Williams.
Yes. September 1st. Choose your best pick, Chad.
I'm advocating right now for Flubber.
that is going to be potentially one of the poll options.
Yeah, it's very likely that will be an option.
And also, we are coming up. It's wild to me. We are coming up on our 1 year anniversary of the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So that will be September 3rd. We will be having a special bonus podcast for you all on that date. More to come on that. Check our social media because you will get to fill out something that relates to the podcast, which we are recording live together. Well, not live. Live for us, I guess. We are recording it together this weekend, which is very exciting for us. So yeah, more on that in the future. You'll see, check out our social media this week and you'll figure out what we're recording and what we want to hear your thoughts on.
I can't wait to listen to the first, the special Girl Meets World coverage.
Oh no, never. I never will do it. It's not made in the 90s, Chad. It's not allowed. Those are the rules. We didn't make the rules. We just follow them.
Right, true.
Except very we did true. The rules.
When we're all old and gray and we're watching shows that come out in 2090, can we podcast about that?
Yes.
Cool.
Absolutely.
And if you'd like to send in feedback, send it to shit90spod@gmail.com or at shit90spod on Instagram and Twitter. And Sarah,
and,
what else?
Yeah.
What else?
Oh my gosh. So big news. We have a website.
Yeah,
I know. It's really exciting.
Sarah worked so hard on this.
I've been working on the website, www.shit90spod.com. And you can leave a voicemail for us and
please
we can play
do.
It.
We want to hear your beautiful voices.
I'm going to leave you voicemails every single week.
Of course you are. We'd love to get your feedback via voicemail. It's just another way you can reach out to us. We love hearing from you guys. And of course, if you want to give us a rating, please do. 5 stars. We would appreciate it. Bumps us up in the, you know, podcast app situation things. So please do that as well. That was a lot of stuff, but I think that's all we have.
It's a lot. But that's it. That's
yeah.
It.
What an eventful episode to come on to. There's
so much happening. Exactly.
So much happening.
So thank you all for listening. Thank you, Chad, again for joining us. This was so
thank
much fun.
Thank you, Chad.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
We will talk to you all next time. Have a good one, everybody. Bye. Beautiful. Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.